efforts to assist us in accepting appointments in cases like this. Thank you. Okay, we move on to the seventh case of the day. Cooney versus Promotions Unlimited, 03-4298. Mr. Nunnery.
Good morning. May it please the court. This case, we believe, should focus immediately on the court's decision and order, specifically page 7. When the court says, the court nonetheless find that evidence, that absence of any evidence that the Spanish-speaking incident played a role in the decision to terminate her employment, we believe that the court and the defendant's argument are disingenuous on this point. Specifically, the defendant's brief at page 21 highlights that the decision to terminate occurred before the incident of March 11. We think that it is very, very important and relevant that the court look at the deposition testimony of Dave Maziek, the decision maker. More specifically, August 26, Exhibit C. In that testimony, Mr. Maziek was asked, prior to March 11, 2002, consistent with Exhibit 3, before you had not made a decision to terminate Ms. Coney. Answer, no, on pages 10 and 11. Question, prior to March 11, 2003, you had not had any discussions with Ms. Coney regarding her job performance. The significance of this, in the court below, and in the employer defendant, they indicate that the decision to terminate had been made before March 11. That is clearly in dispute. The district court, in its summary judgment decision and findings, ignored this. The affidavit supplied in the summary judgment materials was filed on June 30th. The deposition testimony was May 16th. Clearly, there is a dispute in the affidavit testimony submitted on summary judgment and that of the deposition testimony. The court below and in the brief of the defendant seeks to ignore that. We believe that it is very, very important that the court look painfully at the testimony of Maziek, the decision maker, and more specifically proposed findings of fact 94 through 100. There is no doubt that the decision to terminate came about because of the comments at the Blanco meeting. If there is a change in story, if there is a deviation between the affidavit and the deposition testimony, that places in dispute, for summary judgment purposes, any inference which should be drawn in favor of the plaintiff at this juncture. More specifically, the defendants want to argue that Greenberg had nothing to do with the termination of the plaintiff. We submit to you the testimony of Jane E. Watkins. That was Mr. Greenberg's personal secretary. R. 26, Exhibit E. Now, while that testimony is, in fact, in some circumstances, hearsay, it has not been objected to, and it ought to come in for its probative value. And specifically on R. 26, Exhibit E, pages 15 of that deposition testimony, she testified, that is Ms. Watkins' personal secretary, did you also tell Ms. Coney to the effect that Mr. Green said something that no one gets let go without his say-so? Answer, yes. Did you tell Mr. Greenberg, so I said, did you tell Ms. Coney anything to the effect that her speaking Spanish to one of the Puerto Rican groups right in front of him was something that he was offended by? Answer, yes. So she has testified on pages 15 and 16 that Mr. Greenberg raised concerns in Aura 26 Exhibit E that he was offended by the speaking of Spanish. The additional testimony, there were prior instances and examples.
Well, it wasn't really Spanish. It was just speaking a language he didn't understand. He should have been speaking anything. As I read this, he was upset that he couldn't understand what she was saying. It happened to be Spanish, but it could have been Chinese, didn't it?
But what he did in proposed findings of fact 133, it was so that, that's why I was upset. He said himself, I was upset. Very simply, Mary Jane speak English. Don't speak Puerto Rican. How am I going to get into the conversation? And I said, I'm sorry, okay, enough. In that proposed findings of fact, he was upset and he used the expression, I don't want to hear that Puerto Rican stuff. It was not Spanish that he offended by. It could have been Mexican, it could have been Guatemalan, it could have been Brazilian. His identification and offense was speaking the Puerto Rican stuff.
Was it because, he, as Judge Evans said, he couldn't understand the gibberish because it was neither Puerto Rican nor Spanish. It was a mixture of them.
And if there was a legitimate non-discriminatory reason, whatever it was, the Blanco group were all individuals from Puerto Rico. And the innocence of the conversation, they were about to go into a meeting. Whatever Ms. Conan, the plaintiff, said, she was speaking Spanish to them. He became offended. He became offended prior to this with the Tara Spinski conversation. I don't want to hear any more of that Puerto Rican stuff. Was that a legitimate reason to cause the termination? And we believe that Judge Rhonda Below and in the court here with the appellant's filing, the employer's filing, the court should have denied summary judgment because the testimony of Maziak, the decision maker, is totally inconsistent with his deposition testimony. The job performance was a pretext that came after the fact. And I asked the court to take judicial notice of the fact from March 11th is on a Monday. She was terminated after the Blanco meeting. Judge Reiner says he had some confusion about that. It's clear. The Blanco meeting was over about the 14th. She couldn't come to work the following Monday. So the basis and reason for the termination dovetails the Blanco meeting and the incident. And the question for this court, does an employer have the right to tell someone in a protected class, you can't speak that language? And what he did, he used that term and condition of employment as a pretext and then tried to saddle her with job performance to justify the determination. We believe that's inappropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Coles?
Chris Coles on behalf of the defendants in this case. I suppose what I should do first of all is ask that you allow me to read to you a portion of the Maziak deposition because there was much confusion because of the way the questions were posed to Mr. Maziak initially, with Mr. Nunnery asking Mr. Maziak about the time the Puerto Rican group visited Promotions Unlimited and he inserted a date, and then he asked him some questions. It was very clear that Mr. Maziak was confused, and I did my best to clear up that confusion during the course of the deposition. And you all have read the brief, so you know that there were two Puerto Rican groups that Promotions did business with and does business with. One is the Aliadas group, which visited Promotions Unlimited on February 8th of 2002. The other group was the Blanco group that visited Promotions Unlimited sometime during the week of March 11th of 2002. Preceding all of both of those visits, Mary Jane Coney had been hired by Promotions Unlimited by David Masiak, the person who supervised her, had been promoted to the position of handling the Puerto Rican groups, both Aliadas and Blanco, because of her fluency in Spanish, had, when she failed to be able to perform the duties of the job, when that was discovered and realized in about September of 2001, after she was given that job in June, they didn't fire her then. Instead, they reassigned her job duties, brought other people in to help her do the job, continued to keep her in their employ because they thought she still had potential. Even after that, they discovered that there were performance deficiencies that she was exhibiting in terms of screwing up orders and not returning phone calls of clients. They didn't fire her then. They continued to keep her in their employ, continued to try to give her help and so that she could stay in that position. It was only after one of the members of the Aliadas group in January of 2002 wrote a letter to Promotions Unlimited and said, look, we've been having all kinds of problems since you brought this new account person in for us, that they scheduled a meeting with Aliadas, which took place on February 8 of 2002, and at which they discussed these problems, and it was that day or the day after that it is undisputed that this termination decision was made. Now, the Masiak deposition, I would concede, because of the way the questions were asked, is confusing. But, again, Mr. Nunnery was asking Mr. Masiak about a visit by the Puerto Rican group to Promotions on March 11, 2002, and whether before that date he'd made a decision to terminate Mary Jane Coney. In response to that question, Masiak initially testified that he had not made such a decision, but at page 10 of that same page of his deposition, he noted that he had received one previous call before the meeting that Tessie was concerned with a new sales rep that was handling Puerto Rico. Tessie refers to Tessie Rodriguez, who is a member of the Aliadas group, which visited Promotions Unlimited on February 8, 2002. So clearly, they were not on the same wavelength during the course of this deposition. That meeting with Aliadas occurred on February 8 of 2002. Masiak then testified that that group came to Promotions, that the group that came to Promotions on March 11 was the Blanco group, not Aliadas. And Masiak testified that he had absolutely no involvement with that group, and that's at page 11 and page 12 of his deposition. And he expressed his confusion. He said that he thought that the meeting with Aliadas had occurred on March 11, 2002. After he expressed that confusion, he testified as follows. Question: Mr. Masiak, if all the records that have been produced to date would demonstrate that the Aliadas group was at Promotions Unlimited Corporation on February 8, 2002, would that help refresh your recollection? Answer, right. As to when the Aliadas group was there. The witness said, yes, that would help. And I went on. And if the testimony has been, I don't think we've seen any records, that the Blanco group was here the week of March 11, 2002, would you have any reason to dispute that? He said, no. Then at pages 22 and 23, he was asked these questions and gave these answers. Mr. Masiak, you had said that you had gotten a letter from Tessie Rodriguez before the Aliadas group came to meet with you at Promotions. Is that right? Answer, yes. Question, and I'll repeat what I had asked before. If Promotions records demonstrate that the Aliadas group was at Promotions Unlimited on February 8, 2002, does that help refresh your recollection as to when they were actually at Promotions Unlimited? Answer, yes. Question, can you tell me what the result of that meeting was in terms of Mary Jane Coney? Answer, the result of that meeting was that I had to make a decision on Mary Jane with regards to her duties with the Aliadas group. Question, and what did you decide? Answer, I decided that I had to terminate her. Question, and when did you make that decision? Answer, after the meeting. Question, how, when after the meeting? Are you talking about the same day of the meeting, the week after the meeting, the month after the meeting? Answer, the conclusion of the meeting, that the next, the day, the night, the day. Question, the same day as the A time, answer time frame, same time frame. Okay, question, okay, did you terminate Mary Jane Coney immediately when you made the decision that you needed to terminate her? Answer, no. Question, why not? Answer, we do a monthly sales program in our company and we were in the middle of that process, so I wanted to wait until all the orders were in and we had closed our book. There is no, if you read the deposition of Mr. Masiak in its entirety, and you read the affidavit submitted by Mr. Masiak, there are no conflicts there. It's very clear that Mr. Masiak made the decision to terminate Mary Jane Coney, and that decision was made on February 8, 2002, after he had gotten the complaint from the Aliadas Group, after he had met with the Aliadas Group, and he made that decision then. There is no testimony to the contrary. The appellant contends that the decision was made after the Blanco Group was at Promotions Unlimited. And again, Mr. Masiak testified in his deposition that he had nothing to do with Blanco and that he never even heard of any problem that Ira Greenberg may have had in terms of Ms. Coney speaking Spanish at any point before this lawsuit was filed. So in terms of that representation, it's simply not borne out by the facts here. The plaintiff has indicated that Mr. Greenberg, there's a question as to who the decision maker was here. And my response to that is there really is no issue. Mr. Greenberg said that he didn't make the decision, but that he knew it had happened because he's the president of the company and it had been run past him. He was in the loop, but he did not make that decision. Mr. Masiak did. There's no evidence here at all that the decision to terminate Mary Jane Coney by whomever it was made at any point after, was made after the Blanco Group and this business about Spanish speaking arose. So I think that the representations to the contrary just aren't supported by this record. The plaintiff here has chosen to present her case via direct evidence of discrimination, and Mr. Nunnery has argued that the statement that was made by Ira Greenberg about wanting to be included in the conversation and asking Ms. Coney not to speak Spanish so that he could be included in it is direct evidence that her termination was based on an impermissible factor. We would contend that speaking Spanish is not a protected, does not place her in a protected group. But beyond that, one would have to make inferences or draw presumptions from the making of the statement and the timing of that statement and the timing of her being notified of her termination in order to get from point A to point B, as Mr. Nunnery is asking. And obviously that does not constitute direct evidence because one would have to resort to presumption or inference to get there. We believe that Judge Randa made the correct decision here in granting summary judgment to the defendants here, and we would ask that you affirm.
Thank you. Mr. Nunnery. 1 minute.
Briefly, the question, page 11. Prior to March 2002, this is to Mr. Masiak, you had not in your mind even begin thinking about terminating Ms. Coney. Answer, no. Is that correct? Answer, yes. On page 11 of the deposition testimony, he had not even begun thinking of terminating her. What happened? She did cross-examination after a recess. Then he comes back with the February 8th story. This is even more changing of story in the midst of the deposition to settle and justify the reasoning. Whatever the reasons, for summary judgment purposes, the time and date of the termination is in dispute. Moreover, from June 2001 to February 8, 2002, no one at Promotions had ever criticized Plaintiff Coney's performance. That is in proposed findings of fact 92. From June 2001 to February 2002, Plaintiff Coney had not even been subjected to any disciplinary action. Proposed findings of fact 93. The point is...
Time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll proceed to the eighth case of the...